Namaste, Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Vacharne, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paskatya, De Sitarne. Om Agaratunandasya, Giranjana, Salakaya, Chaksur, Militam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri, Gurve, Namaha, Sita, Tanam, Ravishtam, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutle, Swayam, Rupa, Kadam, Hayam, Dadati, Swapadanti, Kam, Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakanzitam Scha Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dinabando, Jagatate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Prishuvana, Sutta Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vanchakapa, Trubhyascha, Kripa, Sinubhya, Vrsha, Padidanam, Bhavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipana Sadharma samstapako lokanamita karino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro Radha Krishna padaravinda bhajanan nande namatvadiko bande rupa sanatana raghu yoga I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhat Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and engaged in the transcendent loving service of Radha and Krishna. Today we're going to go over chapter 4, which is called Devotional Service that Passes All Liberation. The previous chapter, which is called Eligibility, we had gone over that anyone can begin the process of devotional service, that one doesn't have to become free from desires of sense gratification or other types of fruit of activities. That anyone can take up the process of devotional service. The only qualification is attraction for Krishna. That if one has unflinching attraction for Krishna, then one can begin the process. Generally, one begins the process from the Kanishta Adhikari platform. So there are four kinds of persons who are considered to be the Kanishta Adhikaris. Those who are in distress, those who are in want of money, those who are inquisitive, and one who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. out of these four people, the one who's eligible for pure devotional service is the person who is wise, who understands basically that Krishna is God and that we should try to love him, and that he can discriminate between the innocent, the devotees, and the non-devotees, or those who are antagonistic towards Krishna. So the wise person can come from the Kanista Adhikari platform, can gradually come to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. In any case, anyone can take up devotional service. The pure devotional service actually begins at the Madhyam Adhikari platform when one is trying to get free from material desires and mental speculation, especially aiming at bhakti and mukti, sense gratification and liberation. In the prayers by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto, Lord Brahma says, Jnane priyasam udapastanamanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane sita shutikitam tanuvam manobhir ye priyasa jita jito yasya sitai srilokya. Jnane, jnana means the attempt at liberation. Because by knowledge, we can become free from our miseries, material miseries. Therefore, Lord Brahma says, jnana, jnane priyasam. So, in knowledge, jnane priyasam, udapasta. So, priyasa means endeavor, and udapasta means that we should put it far aside. That if we want to come to the platform of devotional service, then we have to give up sense gratification, but even more than that, we have to give up the attempt for liberation. Because generally, although some austerities and some renunciation may be good at the beginning of devotional service, but generally, extreme renunciation makes the heart hard. And devotional service means that we're trying to soften the heart. Therefore, in this fourth chapter, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī will quote extensively from the Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures to explain how devotional service surpasses all liberation. Although it was explained previously, that liberation will certainly free us from the bodily concept of life, and being relieved from the bodily concept of life, we can certainly think of devotional service more easily. But at the same time, it may be an impediment because devotional service is not the abnegation of the senses and the emotions, but it's the utilization of the senses and emotions in the service of Krishna. Now in the fifth chapter, beginning in the fifth chapter, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī makes this statement. All the previous instructions imparted by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. That's repeating the same thing again. As long as one is attached to bhakti and mukti, sense gratification, liberation, the realm of pure devotional service cannot be experienced. Now, pure devotional service has certain qualities. For instance, it relieves one from all material distress, it all auspicious at the stage of sadhana bhakti. So we really want to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Devotional service itself may not be giving us or granting us auspiciousness, nor will it necessarily be relieving us from material distress, from all material distress. Although certainly people take to devotional service in order to become relieved from distress, but the very things that they're aspiring for may be the very sources of their distress in the first place. The desiring for material amenities, material sense gratification, material remuneration for our devotional service, that will simply cause us distress. Because this material sense gratification and fruit of desire is the cause of distress in the first place. But pure devotional service, I guess it says pure devotional service, or devotional service, it has six characteristics of pure devotional service. So therefore we have to discriminate between pure devotional service and just ordinary devotional service. Because we can perform devotional service, and we may wonder why I'm not getting the results I'm looking for. Or maybe I'm not looking for them. Well, I'm wondering why I'm not making any advancement. Just like we chant Hare Krishna offensively, it says, Bahu Janma Shavana, Bahu, how's that called?
Janma Kareya.
Shavana Kirtana, Tabu Tai. Yes, even if one goes on chanting the holy name for many millions of lifetimes, if he's not free from the ten offenses, one won't get love of God. We can go on chanting and chanting or performing devotional service, but if we don't free ourselves from bhakti and mukti, then we won't really feel like we're making any progress. You've heard that story of the bridegroom party, how they were going across the river, and all night the oarsmen were rowing and rowing, and the next day they were still on the same side of the river, because the oarsmen forgot to pull up the anchor. Similarly, we can perform devotional service, we can chant Hare Krishna, but if we don't make some conscious effort to give up our material attachments and our desire for liberation, then we won't make very significant progress, at least not in pure devotional service. Although we can see in Bhajana Kriya, one can go from Utsahamayi, being puffed up with enthusiasm, to Gana Tarala, alternating intense service and slack service, Vishaya Sangara, war against sense gratification, Vyuda Vikalpa, war against mental speculation, fighting against mental speculation, to Niyama Akshama, inability to prove one's devotional service, Taranga Rangini, enjoying the small waves of the results of pure of devotional service. So here, the last stage of Anishtata Bhajana Kriya, one who still has the enjoying spirit, trying to enjoy the results of devotional service rather than trying to please Krishna. Because we understand that if we please Krishna, then automatically we become pleased too, spiritually. But as long as we want to enjoy independently from Krishna, then there's no question of actually pure devotional service. Therefore it's called Anishtata Bhajana Kriya, unsteady. And then Anarthana Vritti is to become free from the anarthas and the aparads, the offenses, especially against the holy name, so one can come to steady devotional service, which, although there may be desires present or reactions present, but they don't disturb one when one is performing bhajana. Therefore it's called Nishta Bhajana Kriya. Steady devotional service. And that's because one is not influenced by material desires and by the desire for liberation. One is simply performing one's devotional service. And then gradually a taste develops, an attachment, and then actual love for Krishna. But as soon as one thinks of liberation, mukti, then immediately one's desire to please Krishna is not there anymore. Because one is simply trying to become free from material miseries. Therefore one is still at the Kanista Adhikari platform, not even at that, simply desiring to get free from material distress. So Prahlad, in this fourth chapter, if you've read the fourth chapter, you'll see it's a series of quotes explaining from different great personalities about what is why they prefer devotional service over liberation. And therefore I'll read some of them, or at least I'll read most of them, quite a few of them. So Prithi Maharaj, I'll summarize some of them because otherwise we'll be here all night. Prithumar said that he doesn't want to merge into Krishna's effulgence because then he can't hear and chant about Krishna anymore. And he'd rather, instead of merging into Krishna's effulgence, he'd rather have millions of tongues and millions of ears so he can go on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because it's so enjoyable to hear and chant about Krishna at the stage that he's on. And King Bharat, although he was the emperor of the whole world, and he had a very beautiful wife and very lovely children, and he had unlimited wealth and power, he had palaces and so many soldiers, but he gave up everything and went into the forest just so he could meditate upon Krishna. That one, an advanced devotee, in other words, can give up everything in order to serve Krishna. And Vritrasura, he was formerly Pitraketu, but he committed a seemingly offense against Lord Shiva, and he was cursed by Parvati to become a demon. He took birth as Vritrasura, and then in the fight with the demigods, he fought against Indra. Indra threw his club at Vritrasura. Vritrasura caught it and threw it back at Indra's and hit Airavata. Airavata was knocked back 100 yards. Blood was coming from his trunk. And then Indra touched him with his nectar-like hand and brought him back to Airavata's consciousness. And then the fight continued. Indra became a little morose because he was losing the fight. Couldn't figure out how to kill Vritrasura. And then Vritrasura began to preach to him that, Indra, you're in Maya. You know, you're attached to the results of your work. You should just surrender everything to Krishna. So in the middle of the battlefield, he began to preach pure devotional service to Indra. Although he was supposed to be the demon and Indra was supposed to be the devotee, but as it turned out, that actually he was a much better devotee than Indra was. Now he preaches to Indra, "Oh my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets, or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of all the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet." In other words, devotional service to Krishna is far better than any material opportunity. And Lord Shiva, in his famous verse, Narayana Parad Sarage, Kutanas Tribidyuti, Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apituliarta Darshanaha. He says that those who are actually in consciousness of Krishna, for them it doesn't matter whether they're in heaven or in hell or if they get liberation. Because they're so much absorbed in thinking about Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, so much absorbed in the happiness that comes from realizing Krishna, that they don't mind to be in any position, material or spiritual. And King Indra, he prefers devotional service because Lord Krishna is so kind, he fulfills all the devotees' desires. So he says in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:18:74. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. And Prahlad Maharaj says in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:6:25 that Lord Krishna fulfills, he also confirms that Lord Krishna fulfills all the desires of his devotees. This is his quote to his schoolmates. "Nothing is unattainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For the devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, which are all automatically attainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. Now here Indra again says, when one is engaged in pure devotional service, mukti and bhakti are insignificant. That everyone should try to satisfy Krishna, just like if one supplies food to the stomach, then naturally the energy from the food will be supplied to all the different parts of the body. The one who's actually engaged in Krishna's pure devotional service, then he's benefiting everyone, including himself. So Indra says, and he's praying to, I guess this is in 7842, so he's praying to Lord Narsingadev. Indra said, O Supreme Lord, you are a deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifice, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demons by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu is most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who are always engaged in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma. So, next quote is by Gajendra in Srimad Bhagavatam 8:320-21, that there is so much bliss in pure devotional service that there's no need to ask the Lord for anything else. So there's Gajendra praying to Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. Unloved devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, worship Him in full surrender, and always hear and chant about His activities, which are most wonderful and auspicious. Thus they always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. I, however, am in danger, and thus I pray that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally existing and who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities such as Brahma, and is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga, being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. He is the original cause and he is completely full in everything. I offer my obeisances unto him. Now Lord Narayan to Devasa Muni. Lord Narayan tells Devasa Muni that the devotees are always satisfied when they're engaged in Krishna's loving service. So my devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sharsti. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary system? Srimad Bhagavatam 9.467. And here we have the Nagnapatis. They say that anyone who adores Krishna's lotus feet doesn't care a fig for all the other perfectional stages. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.37. Anyone who adores Lord Krishna's lotus feet, those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, position of Brahma, or rulership over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself. Now the Shrutis in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.21, they say that if one is engaged in devotional service, not only he gets relief from material existence, but he enjoys unlimited spiritual happiness. My Lord, some fortunate souls, this is the prayers of personified Vedas. My Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees, or like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. You hear something from Lord Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto, two quotes from the 11th canto. Devotees are saintly and have deep intelligence, and so they are dedicated to Krishna without desiring anything else. So this is the quote, because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me, and do not desire anything besides me. Indeed, even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. And there's another chapter in the same canto. One who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither position nor the abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary systems, nor the eightfold perfection of yoga, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone. The Lord Shiva to Devi in the 12th canto. Lord Shiva replied, surely this saintly Brahmin, Markandeya Rishi, does not desire any benediction, not even liberation itself, for he has attained pure devotional service unto the inexhaustible personality of Godhead. Now this is from the Padma Purana. This may be familiar to you. Oh my dear Lord, you are the Lord of all, the giver of all benedictions. I do not ask you for liberation, nor any material facility up to the point of liberation. What I want is your favors that I may always think of your form, which I see you now as Damodar. You are so beautiful and attractive that my mind does not want anything besides this wonderful form. You've heard this before? What's that? Yes, from the Damodarasika. My dear Lord Damodar, once you were playing as a naughty boy in the house of Nanda Maharaj, you broke the box containing yogurt. The pot. It should be pot. I probably wrote the box. And because of that, Mother Jasoda considered you an offender and tied you with rope to the household grinding water. At that time you delivered the two sons, Kuvera, Nala Kuvara, and Manigriva, who was staying there as two Arjun trees and the yard of Nanda Maharaj. My only request is that by your merciful pastimes you may similarly deliver me. Now this is from the Harshirsha Pancharatra. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I do not want any resultant benediction for my religious life, nor do I want any economic development, nor do I want to enjoy sense gratification, nor liberation. I simply pray to be an eternal servant at your lotus feet. Kindly oblige me and give me this benediction. So in the same Harishirsha Pancharatra, after Nrisimhadeva wanted to give benedictions to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj did not accept any material benediction and simply asked the favor of the Lord to remain his eternal devotee. In this connection, Prahlad Maharaj cited the example of Hanuman, the eternal servitor of Lord Ramachandra, who also set an example by never asking any material favor from the Lord. He always remained engaged in the Lord's service. That is the ideal character of Hanuman, for which he is still worshipped by all devotees. Prahlad Maharaj also offered his respectful obeisances unto Hanuman. There is a well-known verse spoken by Hanuman. My dear Lord, if you like, you can be salvation from this material existence or the privilege of merging into your existence. But I do not wish any of these things. I do not want anything that which diminishes my relationship with you as servant to master, even after liberation. What is it from the Narada Pancharatra? My Lord, I do not wish any professional stage by performing the ritualistic religious ceremonies, nor by economic development, or by sense gratification or liberation. I simply pray that you grant me the favor of keeping me under your lotus feet. I do not wish any kind of liberation, such as Salokya, to reside on your planet, or Swarupya, to have the same bodily features as you. I simply pray for your favor, that I may be always engaged in your loving service. This is Maharaj Pariksit to Shukadeva Goswami, a great sage among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation. One may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees are very peaceful, extremely rare. I think we already. And from Queen Kunti, personality of Godhead is not understood by great liberated persons, but only by devotees such as Queen Kunti in her humbleness. So this quote, Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Videnartam Katam Pashemi Histriha. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service under the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators. We're purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? So this shows how Krishna can't be known even by great Paramahamsas, but they can be known by persons who are humble like Queen Kunti. Another verse which shows how even liberated souls are attracted by pure devotional service is the Atmarama verse. Atmarama Chabunayo, Yer Granta Yad Uru Krame, Kurvanya Haitakim Bhakim, Itam Buddha Haro Gano Hari. That all different varieties of Atmaramas who take pleasure in the self, an Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, although free from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So in conclusion of Srila Rupa Goswami is that devotees who are attracted by the pastimes of the Lord and Gokula, some of the liberated soul persons who achieve the four stages of liberation, they also develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. In other words, those who are already promoted to the Vaikuntha planets possess the four kinds of liberation. They also sometimes develop affection for Krishna and be promoted to Krishna Loka. As such, the pure devotees never accept the liberation of Sayuja to become one with the Supreme, although sometimes they may accept as favorable the other four liberated stages. The conclusion of Sri Rupa Goswami is that the devotees who are attracted by the pastimes of Lord and Gokul or Vrindavan are the topmost devotees. The devotee who is attached to a particular form of the Lord does not wish to redirect his devotion to other forms. For example, Hanuman, the devotee of Lord Ramachandra, knew that there is no difference between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Narayan, and yet he still wanted to render service only unto Lord Ramachandra. Any questions about this? Yes.
It sounds like it's extremely difficult to attain pure devotional service.
Well, it's hard to get liberation.
It's even hard to get liberation. I was wondering, where do we get the strength to give up these desires, and why is it so extremely difficult?
Because we're extremely attached. We've been here for an extremely long time, and we're extremely stubborn. The strength, it comes from surrender. As they surrender unto me, Krishna says, they reward them accordingly. So it comes from hearing. Hearing with submission, and then being inquisitive to understand the science, and then trying to render service. That if we're sincere about hearing nicely and submissively and inquisitively, and then we follow it out by rendering service, then Krishna reciprocates and gives us transcendental strength. So it comes from hearing submissively in the association of devotees and then rendering service. What's that? It's not enjoying the results of devotional service, such as sense gratification, liberation, but it's enjoying the results of pleasing Krishna.
So it's enjoying bliss?
Yes, enjoying Krishna's happiness.
Because it's not possible not to enjoy bliss.
Not possible. Well, we've been doing a good job of not enjoying bliss for a long time. But if we please Krishna, then naturally we'll also be happy. Just like if you water the root of the tree, naturally the water will also go to the leaves and branches. So by pleasing Krishna, we'll be pleased, and many other people, all living entities will be benefited. As long as you supply food to the stomach, the different parts of the body will be nourished. But there's no other way of nourishing all the different parts of the body unless one supplies food to the stomach. So if we please Krishna, then actually everyone, including ourselves, will be pleased. Yeah.
In the beginning you were speaking about devotional service with other motives, the bhakti and mukti. Could you give other examples of bhakti, because generally it doesn't seem that there's a lot of material sense enjoyment to get in the temple besides prasadam, or I don't know what other motives are there in devotional service, material motives.
But this is not only talking about people living in a temple. I mean, somehow or another, people have been in the material world for a long time. They must be doing something.
Yeah.
Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Sure.
You can also do the same thing in the temple. You can eat, sleep, have all kinds of romantic desires in your mind,
yeah.
And, you know, defend about, you know, anyone's going to come and take your prasadam. You have all kinds of keys and locks and secret places. It's possible to be completely divine in the temple too. Is that right?
Yeah, but here it seems like a real big point, and I wonder why the people do that. If you want real big sense gratification, you probably would get it somewhere else.
Yeah, well, you can do that. That's what I mean. But if you really want real big sense gratification, then you can get into, that's what's devotional services. You can go to the heavenly planets. Going out, you know, going to the discotheques won't bring you to the heavenly planets. But if you want real big sense gratification, devotional service will give it to you more easily. You can go back to, you know, Indraloka or someplace like that. Go dancing with the apsaras instead of just ordinary. Yes.
When are you knowing that you're pleasing Krishna?
When are you knowing?
Yeah, when you know.
Well, if you please, then Krishna will let you know. How do you know? Well, it depends how much you please him. But generally speaking, we find out what Krishna wants us to do through these scriptures, through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we follow it with a desire to please Krishna, then we'll know that's pleasing to Krishna. If you get up early in the morning, come to the program, because Rupa Goswami is advising it, therefore we know we're pleasing Rupa Goswami, because we're following his instructions. So if we follow Krishna's instructions, then we know it's pleasing to him. How do you please anyone? If someone asks you to get a glass of water, and you say, forget it. Obviously you're not going to please the person very much. Isn't that right? If you render service to the person, then they'll be pleased.
Yeah, that's the idea. That if you only know Krishna,
how do you know? Well, there's three symptoms of pleasing Krishna. One of them is that you're able to understand everything as it's related to Krishna more clearly. The other thing is that you are able to become detached from things that draw your mind away from Krishna. And the third is you're able to, you feel a growing attachment and love for Krishna. So that's the symptoms that Krishna is being pleased. Just like the symptoms of eating a meal is that with every bite of eating the food, you feel growing nourishment, you feel alleviation of hunger, and you feel satisfaction. So the same thing with performing pure devotional service. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Grantharashtam, Nectar of Devotion, Kijai. Srila Prabhupada, Kijai. Gaur Premanande.